Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, happy Thursday. So glad you could join us. I feel like it's been forever since Kayla and I have been on the air with you guys. So hey, you know what's up. This program is sponsored by P4T Muscles, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, then check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk Kaylin Patterson. Kaylin, lend me your ear, Patterson. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing just fine. Finally got some sunshine. Just enjoying these last couple of workout days. It's been a good week.
That's good. That's good. I know every time I would hear from you, you would be talking about how the clouds are out, that it's sunny, or that it's cold. And in Iowa, we've had a lot of sun. So I wasn't envious of you for that.
Yeah, I love how you rubbed it in, too. So that's just nice.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm here for. I'm the yin to your yang. I have to call those things out.
Yeah, it's a roller derby mama. I got it.
Very good. So right now, competition season headed into full gear. We're seeing emails flying left and right, messages on Facebook left and right from promoters about shows coming up 4 weeks out, 5 weeks out. If you guys haven't been paying attention, you're going to want to check it out and get in the know. Definitely take a look at MidwestMuscle.com. We try to capture as many of those shows as we can, along with posing tips, posing seminars, all of that good kind of stuff. So if you're looking for opportunities, give us a look. And if you guys know of something that we are not talking about, let us know, because we definitely want to share with the community. One show in particular that's coming up, Kaylin and I are going to be there, not competing. We'll just be making our guest appearance, but the Chi-Town Showdown coming up in May. So if you guys are in the area and you're looking for a show around about that time, it's mid-May. I believe it is May 20th, Kaylin. Do I have that date right?
May 21st, yes, May 21st.
Oh, May 21st. Okay, there we go. So Saturday, May 21st. So, you know, it's going to be a great one. You'll have a chance to win a sword. And who doesn't want a sword? Who doesn't want to feel like Conan the Barbarian or like a ninja or something? You want a sword. You know you want a sword. I want a sword. So maybe next year will be my run for a sword, but definitely do check it out.
That would be a good blog.
So, that would be a good blog. Kaylin's trying to give me a little push in the direction of getting our blog started that I've been talking about. I've only been talking about it. I haven't written anything yet, but that'll be something coming your way too. We're going to get a blog going and be sure to capture all of this good stuff as well. So, for tonight's show, we are actually doing something a little bit different, because you know we target the bodybuilding arena, the Natty Nation, all of our natural bodybuilding athletes out there. But tonight we have an awesome guest that is coming on with us who is kind of a hybrid of both. A, she is a natural bodybuilding competitor, and B, she also dedicates much of her time to working with athletes that aren't bodybuilders. She kind of coins them being the unnatural athlete, not to get confused with athletes that are unnatural because of some of their choices as far as enhancements they might use in their careers, but the unlikely athlete being the unnatural athlete. And with that, I want to welcome Gretchen. Miss Gretchen with 620 Nutrition. How are you doing?
Yes, ma'am. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We are absolutely awesome.
Awesome.
Now, Gretchen, can you do me a favor and pronounce your last name for us? You see, I didn't tackle that.
yeah, no problem. It's Quast.
Okay, Quast.
Yes.
That's what I thought it was, but then I didn't want to throw it out there and have it all kinds of wrong. So thanks for clarifying for us.
No worries.
So I gave you a little bit of an introduction, but why don't you share more with our audience, more about yourself, your background, how you got into bodybuilding and training.
Yeah, I'd love to. Absolutely. Well, again, you guys, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on tonight. This is really, really great. So, I got into fitness myself. I'm 33 now. I had to think about that for a second. I'm 33. I got into fitness when I was probably 26. I'd always been interested in fitness, but I was definitely not a fit person. I didn't grow up, eating healthy, taking care of myself, exercising, all that stuff. I always thought fitness was kind of cool, but it seemed like it was something really far in the distance and a bit unattainable, to be totally honest. I kind of didn't see myself as one of those gym people, quote unquote. When I started dating my husband, he actually just had graduated with his bachelor's in exercise science. And at the time he was a personal trainer, and he actually took me through a circuit training routine, and that was it. It was just this light bulb moment where all of a sudden I felt very empowered. I felt like I got a great workout. It was a total body circuit, really simple, but I worked every muscle in my body. It was a lot of fun, and I was done in 40 minutes. And it just sparked this huge interest in fitness, because it suddenly became something that, hey, maybe I could do this. It's not just for those really fit people, quote unquote. And so as, that was my circuit, 3 times a week. I was faithful, did it, 3 times a week, very limited cardio. Slowly became more interested in nutrition. I remember actually the first nutrition book I really sat down and read was called The Abs Diet. It's an old men's health book. Some people might remember it. It actually was quite popular for a while. But it's just simple things. Started eating vegetables a few meals a day and things like that. And I was amazed at how my body started to transform, and I just felt it a really empowering experience. So much so that I just kept trying to get my friends to work out with me, and eventually decided I should probably do it as a profession, because that's all I really wanted to do at that point. So
you were just in love?
I was absolutely in love. And I just, like I said, I just was so in love with all of a sudden how attainable it was. It wasn't this pie in the sky dream. It was, okay, someone like me that is naturally not a great athlete, pretty clumsy. I'd struggled with my weight off and on through my whole life. It just became attainable. And so I became a personal trainer about 7 years ago, right when my husband and I got married. And after I worked at, a gym, I lived in Alaska at the time, by the way, worked at a really small gym, and started getting into teaching group fitness classes, things like that. Anyway, one of my clients challenged me and actually told me she would help sponsor me if I wanted to compete in a show. And again, all of that was very unnatural. I could do, at that point I was like, no, I could do push-ups and squats and things like that. But that was the next level, at least for me. It was like, oh, I'm not a show person. I'm not a bodybuilder. I mean, that's those, fit people. But anyway, after talking with me for a while, she and I decided to commit to doing a show. And I actually worked with Sean and Chinsia Clapp up in Alaska. Chinsia is actually a fitness pro as well. So she actually has her pro card in fitness. And I decided fitness was what I wanted to do. I didn't have any background in gymnastics or anything like that, and really didn't have any idea what I was getting into, but I thought, I figured I was just going to do one show, so I might as well do exactly what I really wanted to do, which is fitness, which, God bless her. I mean, she had a lot on her hands working with me, teaching me how to do the splits and all kinds of stuff. Like I said, unnatural athlete. So the dancing part of the fitness, my fitness routine was, it got better, but it was pretty rough at first, let me tell you. So anyway, walked through that first show season with them, ended up doing 2 shows in the category of fitness, and it just completely changed my life. I mean, I remember the first time I strapped on those posing heels and tried to walk, I felt like I was like a horse. Like it was like clomp, 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 clomp. I mean, it was, but it just, I mean, I was scared out of my mind, to be totally honest, to compete. But I committed to it. I had a client who was sponsoring me. It was kind of the point where I was like, well, you can't back out now. You just got to do it. And I tell you what, I mean, I learned that, you know what, fake it till you make it. You know, I was terrified to be on stage in front of people in those heels and do all my poses and do my routine and all that. But I learned that so much of that is quite literally fake it till you make it. You just, okay, you put on the smile and you just pretend like you're the most confident person on stage, and it works. So anyway, after the first competition season, I was pretty well hooked. I took about a year off, and then I did another show and I just decided to do figure at that point, because honestly, I didn't know that my body could keep handle training like a gymnast. So I transitioned into the figure division, continued to compete in the NPC, and more recently, over the last few years, my husband and I have moved to Arizona, which is wonderful, by the way. I'm loving the sun. But anyway, moved to Arizona, and so since being down here, I've transitioned into competing in the OCB, so natural organization. And so last year, hit it really hard. I did 4 shows last year, ended up competing at nationals last fall as well, and first time doing nationals. And I did fairly decent in that show. And yeah, but I'm absolutely hooked. I absolutely love competing, and not just for the love of the sport, but really I feel like with each competition season, it's been just a huge personal growth. You know, there's just so much, I think, that you can learn through fitness, through doing something that you think is really hard. And honestly, with every show I've done, at no point has it been a cakewalk. I mean, literally each show has had its own different, you know, own challenges, own things to overcome, you know, different personal goals. And I just love it. I absolutely love it. It's enhanced my life in about every way I could think. It's even enhanced my marriage. It's made me a more confident individual. It's made me, you know, I would even say a more competent trainer, you know. And so anyway, I'm going on and on, and obviously I'm fairly passionate about the sport. So definitely. And the other thing too, I think is really, really pretty phenomenal about bodybuilding is anyone can do it. I mean, quite literally, yes. It doesn't matter if you feel like you have 2 left feet in heels, you know, for the girls that are like, I can't wear heels, or it doesn't matter if you think you're clumsy. I was super, super clumsy, and none of that matters. It doesn't matter if, you know, you've never done something like that before and the thought of it scares you. Most of the girls, again, I've you know, speaking from my experience, or at least a good chunk of them on stage, are scared out of their mind. So you all just, you're up there together, you know. And I've seen it not just in my life, but in so many people I know who compete, be such a life-enhancing experience, even if they just do that one show. Because all of a sudden, the way they think about not just their fitness, but even their identity and what they can do with their life can completely transform. So I think it's just such an incredible catalyst for obviously physical growth as well as personal growth.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in love. I'm in love. Sign me up. When are we going to do this? I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm just so ready now. I'm just so ready. That I couldn't have. Wow. Wow. Ness, I need help. I'm drowning.
I think what he's trying to say is you've just taken the words out of our mouths on so many different things. I mean, from just the perspective of, you know, bodybuilding and competing as a woman, but then also just touching on how, you know, fitness and health can ultimately and literally change your life, and not just as an athlete, but, you know, from the perspective of where you're working and training now, but for, you know, what you call the everyday working man and woman. And I think you have a quote which I love, which I'm probably not going to get it right at this moment, but you basically say something along the lines of health and wellness or fitness is like the well where every good blessing comes. I know I've got that wrong, but that's kind of the gist of what it was that you said. And it's true. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that? I know there's a couple different things that we really want to touch on, but I want to touch on, you know, all of the people out there who are the unlikely athletes who think, I can't do it. You know, they see people, I guess I'll call it in our world, that compete, and they're just like, oh, I can never do what they do, or they're a little bit scared to even try. And
yeah,
you're out there making the way that's saying, no, you can do it to the degree that you are able or desire to do it. And how are you, I mean, how are you getting that message out there? Tell us about the Better Life division of where you work and what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I have the blessing to work with Brian Melicon from C620 Nutrition. I actually started with him a couple years ago as a client, and he worked with me on a couple of shows. And when he decided he wanted to start the Better Life branch of C620 to basically really focus on the non-competitor, you know, and that's going to look like a variety, you know, of different, you know, levels of health and a variety of different goals. And anyway, so our goal with that division is to really make fitness and health and wellness attainable to the non-competitor. And that could be, you know, from the, you know, the stay-at-home mom to the guy that, you know, works 60 hours a week and is kind of unsure where to go with his fitness. But we really want to make a lot of these principles very, very accessible to them. And just for them to understand, kind of like I did initially, oh, you don't have to spend, you know, 4 hours a day at the gym. You don't, you know, I mean, fitness mm-hmm. should be accessible. So what we do is essentially we work with people that don't necessarily want to step on stage through the Better Life division, but they want to achieve a certain level of fitness. And that, I mean, really, that, you guys, that ranges quite a bit within our current clients or within my clients. I mean, everything sure. from just, I just want to kind of tone up a little bit to, well, I want to look like a competitor, but I definitely don't want to step on stage. So, I mean, there's a pretty big range there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is really work with each individual client. Obviously, we really need to understand, you know, what's your goal and why is that your goal, okay, and how can we craft a program to get you there. And so the really great thing about it is it's an online training company. So, you know, we have access to a large pool of clients living really all over the country, which is pretty great. And basically just work on creating programming conducive to each individual's lifestyle. So some of my clients, they really, really enjoy lifting, and they really like those 90-minute lifting sessions. So we, you know, they lift heavy, you know, 6 days a week, 90 minutes, you know, each time. And some of my clients have really, really tight schedules, so we got to fit their lifting sessions in and out of the gym in 45 minutes. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we start there, obviously, by creating a fitness program for their lifestyle specifically and for their goal. And we also work with them on their nutrition. I'm a huge fan of macronutrient tracking, so I really encourage, it's really the starting point of the majority of my clients. I have them most of the time start with macronutrient tracking. Part of that is a lot of it's going to be the education side of it. I'm very passionate about each one of my clients getting a really solid education about food. And, you know, why are carbohydrates good around workouts, and, you know, what kind of carbohydrates, you know, break down a little bit quicker and things like that. So we generally start people there. Now, some of my clients, you know, again, it's all going to be individualized and tailored. So there's things, you know, I'll do differently for different clients based on where they're at in their program. But the biggest thing is just to really work on the education side of it as far as nutrition goes, because I really want them to leave our services and feel good not only that they've achieved their goal, but they also know how to maintain that goal, which is a whole other conversation, of course, as well. So if they know what they're eating and they know why they're eating it, it's going to be far more likely for them to walk away and go, okay, great. I feel good. I feel empowered. I know what to eat. I don't need Gretchen looking over my shoulder telling me I need to eat this, this, and this at these many times during the day. So those are kind of the things I really, really focus on as far as the nutrition and fitness side of things with each one of my clients. And again, you know, it's very individualized. Some people are going to have different rules than others. Some people, we approach it a little bit different than others, all based on the person, their timeline, how goals are progressing, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Well, now you just walked us into something that we've been, it's been one of our recurring topics, and I'll jump in on that. But the thing that you're talking about is so beautiful because, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, it, you don't have to be on stage to be a fan of competition. And with that, I mean, you think if everybody competed, we wouldn't have anybody in the audience. So, you know, you really have to think about those things when we're talking about it. Because, you know, we love what we do. And when people find some niche about it, we say, oh, yeah, you got to compete, you got to compete. And sometimes people just don't want to do that. They just want to be fans of it and enjoy it like any other sport. That, you know, there's just some people that just want to watch. They don't want to be that involved in it. So, you know, I like where you're going with this because there's so many people that do have a level of fitness in them, and I'm glad that you're basically bringing them to that level because without it, you know, good health and fitness is only for the few, and I would hate that idea. I mean, I would really hate that whole thought process where it would only be for people that basically were selected out. How could you really by teaching what you're teaching, if you know, well, it's only going to hit a certain amount of people. And, you know, you want everybody. I'm sure you, as a coach, as a trainer, as a physical therapist, I mean, a personal trainer, you want more people to be healthy and fit, not because of you, but because of what you know it can give others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, definitely. It's, each person, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, a huge chunk of the population isn't going to step on stage, no matter how much we think it's the coolest thing ever. But yeah, it's, I really think it's very, very important to work with the individual and find what makes people tick, find what makes them passionate, you know, to be fit, to want to take care of themselves physically. And what does that look like for them? You know, when a client starts with us, we ask them about goals short and long term. And honestly, what I'm really looking for there is I not just, you know, I'd like to lose 10 pounds. Well, that's great. I mean, that, you know, obviously those are, you know, tactile goals that we need to work towards. But I want to know, what's your motivation? Why do you really want to do this? You know, what are those things that are going to make this stick for you? Because, you know, if it's purely aesthetic based and that's the only reason, that might be exciting for a little while, but that's not necessarily going to stick long term. And so, yeah, absolutely. Working with people to get them to kind of think about that and what does that look like for them? And, you know, I mean, it helps them continue to grow in their own personal fitness as well, whether they can, you know, whether they compete or not, you know, reaching for the next thing, whether it's, you know, shoot, what if it's, you know, I want to train so I could do a Tough Mudder race. Okay, they did a Tough Mudder race. Well, what's the next thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, I mean, of all the people that you're working with, because we're still talking about the unlikely athlete here, what are some of the biggest obstacles that you're seeing out there of why people don't stick with their health and wellness programs? I mean, you just hit on one of not having – maybe the, I don't want to call it the right perspective because I don't want to call anybody perspective wrong, but just not enough long-term perspective. But in addition to that, I mean, are you really seeing any other hot buttons that are really at the crux of people just falling off and not seeing their programs through?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, so I do really think the goal and really people understanding the why behind the goal, asking those deeper questions is huge. And obviously I'm not a therapist. I can't, you know, I'm not going to be like, I want you to sit down and ask yourself, you know, why and journal freely about that. But, you know, we do try to encourage them to think about these things because it's important, you know. So I think the goal is understanding the why. Oh, thank you. Absolutely. You know, but yeah, understanding the why behind the goal, because that why has to be strong enough to propel you towards the goal when life happens, when you accidentally mess up on your diet, when, you know, you have family members come over and somebody brings a cheesecake and, you know, you're out of calories for the day. And, oh, my gosh, do I stick to my plan or do I not? You know, I mean, that why, if that why is, yeah, with strawberries, not absolutely not the protein cheesecake kind. But if that why is strong enough to anchor you, they're going to find they're going to slip a lot more. So I really think, honestly, if you really spend the time and think about your why and anchor yourself in a why that's strong enough. So things like, okay, well, I've got grandkids and I want to be able to run and play with my grandkids when I'm 70. You know, I want to be able to, you know, walk and not be, you know, wheelchair bound. I want to be able to, you know, those kinds of things I think really anchor people a lot better. Mm-hmm. So I think that's huge. Other thing, and I guess for me, I tend to look at a lot of things kind of point in that direction. I think people need to really think things through, I guess. I feel like in our kind of culture, things are so fast-paced, and we kind of just want things pretty instantly, and mm-hmm. we don't yeah. always think things through. So another thing I want people to be okay with, and not that I'm saying that, yeah, you know, it's totally okay to fall off your plan, but people need to know what that looks like and understand that when they do make mistakes, get up and keep going, because
yes.
it's not about being perfect. I think people get it in their mind that I'm going to be perfect. And to be totally honest with you, my athletes, because I like to call them athletes, whether they're, you know, stage competitors or not, you know, but my athletes,
mm-hmm.
the ones that are perfect all the time, almost start to worry me more, because at some point a mistake is going to happen or they're going to mess up on something, and are they prepared to get up again when they feel like they failed? So I actually mm-hmm. think that those mistakes, if you really kind of get your head wrapped around it, again, not that you're preparing yourself to say, okay, well, I know I'm going to screw up on Saturday, and that's okay because Coach Gretchen said it's okay to make mistakes, so I'm going to, you know, do this.
Right.
But
I'm going to plan. I'm going to plan my screw up.
Exactly, right? Exactly. But if you know that it's not going to be perfect, but the point of this is actual growth, and the people that are successful long term are the people that get real good at getting up when they fall down. You know, it's, I think there's a scripture somewhere in the Bible that says, you know, a righteous man falls 7 times but gets back up again. And I think about that mm-hmm. so often. And, you know, I really think it's really important to avoid the whole perfectionistic mentality. I mean, because honestly, if you really carry that out, that's also that same mentality that keeps people away from the gym in the first place, because they go,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm not, you know, like those fit people at that gym, or I'm not this, or I could never do this. You know, people, you know, start to kind of participate in that and make that their reality. But the real reality is the people that achieve their fitness goals and their diet goals and all that stuff are usually the people that make a lot of mistakes but get real good at dusting themselves off and going for it, you know, and also
yeah.
being willing to evaluate why did you, you know, what are the reasons you messed up? You know, did you, you know, how's your thought life been? You know, did you allow yourself to, you know, did you not plan properly? I mean, there's so much that could be kind of gleaned and learned. And so I think for me in the, obviously more the non-competitor sphere with my clients, those two things seem to be some of the biggest things that cause people to trip up. And I guess the other one I would say, and this is real practical, and you hear this all the time, but it's so true, that if you don't plan to win, you plan to fail. And
mm-hmm.
that
okay.
taken, yeah, with, you know, with your nutrition, with your workouts, with, I mean, you're basically saying, let's plan to win here. So let's be practical and feasible. Okay, what does your work
mm-hmm.
schedule look like? Okay, how are we going to make this work? Or let's be practical and look at, okay, you got a family vacation coming up. Okay, let's talk about how we're going to, you know, help you still make progress on your goals when you're on your vacation and you're, you know, surrounded by all this food or whatnot. And even to the point of like, let's plan a couple of cheat meals on the vacation. I mean, as simple as some of those things are, you know, really getting people to stop and let's think this through. Let's come up with a
yeah.
plan where you can win. And we're not asking for perfection, but we're planning to win. So how can we help you plan to win in this situation? So Yeah. So those all, I mean, there are elements of each of those things that do obviously weave it in and out of each other, you know, because so much of it, the battle is won or lost in the mind. But mm-hmm. I would say those are probably the most major things. And honestly, those are things that I have struggled with in my fitness journey too. It's mm-hmm. just people are amazing, but people are people. And we all kind of, sometimes yeah. we all struggle with the same stuff, you know? So you kind of,
right.
it's kind of, you know, when people sometimes, you know, they might, you know, message me and be like, oh, Gretchen, I messed up or this happened or that happened. And it's like, you know, well, you're a human. That's okay. Let's talk about how to move forward,
mm-hmm.
you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen where people, you know, basically walk themselves into bad health trying to be what you're saying, like that perfect individual, because they're
yeah.
lying. And I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
This is real talk. But let's be honest about it. It's a big, nasty lie that they're living, and it catches up to them. And then it basically, it seems like somebody pulled the rug from under them. But really, they were doing mm-hmm. it that whole time, trying to be that perfect person, or what the, you know, the, and, you know, okay, let's go back in history and just realize where this stems from. And that was basically the person that was trying to get into magazines and, you know, back in the day. And they had to live this quote-unquote lifestyle or look. And, you know, people say, well, that must be what we need to aspire to. But it
right.
wasn't. It was a big sham. And, it you know, God bless them, it worked, good marketing, but it wasn't the truth. And, you know, a lot of people suffered in that process. And I'm sure you saw it as much as me and Dez did. And it hurts to see. But you can't derail it because they're basically derailing themselves. But there's also the
right.
other side of it where you have the person that catches on immediately and just gets right in it. I mean, you know, the plan is there, the support is there, everything's there. They line all the ducks in a row and just like shot out from a cannon and just hit the ground running. And then you have the person that basically is limping into it, because they've had some issues, whether it be, you know, mental or physical, and it takes a little bit longer. And sometimes there's a gap in there, and people feel, okay, well, you know, I'm just not learning at the right pace. But really they are, because that's the pace that works for them. And,
yeah.
you know, especially on the women's side, and you know, it's pretty bad, because guys see the gains in women. Well, I don't want to see guys. Young-minded adults who happen to be male see the games in women, and they say, oh, well, you know, then she's cheating and she's not doing right. You know, she's doing something that, and basically they're saying, because I never thought of that philosophy or that plan or that coach or that kind of support, it can't happen. And, you know, how do you address that for your female athletes?
As far as wanting to, let's say, like, achieve a physical look that might be unpopular,
for
example.
For the idiot. For the idiot. I said, well, it's unpopular for the idiot, because I can't see anyone that's attaining good health and you say, oh, there's something wrong with that.
Right, yeah. Well, so I have worked with clients in the past, we'll say, you know, female clients, because we're talking about the subject specifically, who have started to get, you know, really into working out and, you know, are making great strides, great progress, maybe building a little bit of muscle, and they've definitely dealt with a little bit of blowback, or they start getting more and more people telling them what they should be doing or what they shouldn't be doing, or, you know, you're putting on too much muscle, you don't want to look like a guy, you know, things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You really just gotta think this through and go after what you want. So it's not about achieving a certain look to, you know, make yourself more valuable or whatever, but it's more about, what do I want to do and how does this benefit my life? And is this making me, you know, a better person, a better wife, a better mom? You know, I think that it can really challenge. I've seen it really challenge some of my female clients in particular, because it kind of caused them to stop and question, wait a minute, is this okay? Well, someone said this, or, you know, this guy said this, and I don't want to look like a man, or I don't want to put on too much muscle, or whatever. But I kind of think it can actually be a really fantastic personal growth opportunity. Obviously, I'm all about personal growth, but it can be a really fantastic personal growth opportunity for them to really think through and go, no, no, wait a minute, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this because I love it. I'm doing this because I enjoy feeling like I'm strong. I enjoy the fact that I can do a push-up without, you know, going down to my knees. You know, it's really kind of helping the client think through what they're doing, why they're doing it, and that it's totally okay if somebody else doesn't agree with them or wants to, you know, has their own input about it, because people are going to talk, especially in the fitness industry. Everyone has an opinion and they will share it. So I really think it's just it's a great opportunity for personal growth. It's a great opportunity because if you do think those things through, that can also help with your confidence level amazingly, you know, and kind of can make you even more solid if those things are challenged. You know, I feel like it's a bit like weight training. If you challenge that muscle, you know, so to speak, metaphorically, it's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you more solid in what you're doing and why you're doing it. It's going to make you more stable. So, you know, I know you all can't see me, but I just have a big smile on my face. I mean, I even have had recent emails come through this week where the clients have shared some stories about things that have happened at the gym, and you know, it's, you know, my response back has mostly been, okay, great that they think that. What do you think?
Exactly.
And I'm actually glad that you, I mean, it's almost like you've stolen every question that I wanted to ask as a follow-up and already answered it, but I'm so glad that you did, because you know, what Kaylin is bringing up and what you're talking about, it's, I mean, it is an issue, and it often stems from when people see others doing things that they either wish they could do, but they haven't put together the self-discipline to do it, or just feel like they can't do it, or they don't want to, so they don't want anybody else out doing them, then their next response is something negative about that. But you know, I was exactly thinking of, well, then that ties into, again, the why that you were talking about and how strong that needs to be. But then also that this is a good reinforcement as to why they are doing what they're doing and how that ties in, and then how that does help to build up their confidence and their self-esteem, because, you know, if they weren't making any progress, nobody's going to say anything.
Right.
Life is normal. Nobody's going to recognize anything. But the fact that they are making progress, that's when the comments are being made. And then that's when they should pretty much know that they are on the right track with whatever it is they're
validation.
Doing, because people are taking notice. It is validation. It is validation. And it builds confidence in so many other ways. Like you said, it helps you become a better wife, you know, a better teammate, just helps boost your life in so many areas, because you are happier and you feel like, oh my gosh, I can do this thing that I never thought I could do. What is it that I can do next? So it's not really
an
observation, but you know, it's just, you know, as you were saying, one of the blessings that come from health and wellness, and just being active in it. So with that being said, we sometimes I feel like two steps forward, two steps back in this whole health and wellness debate. But from your career and from your perspective, you know, is health and wellness winning? Is it gaining ground? Is it losing ground? What do you kind of see from the responses that you're seeing out there from your clients, or maybe not clients that you're not getting that you feel you should be?
So health and wellness, referring to just the industry in general? Like, are you asking if in my perspective, is it winning and gaining ground in a positive direction?
Not so much as, you know, a career professional, but just like individual people that are starting to grasp that this is a big deal for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that it's growing in the individual. I think that with some of the people I work with, you know, it can be, you know, two steps forward, two steps back, and then the next time it's three steps forward but one step back. And, you know, there's a bit of an ebb and a flow, and it's because different people are at different places, different levels of self-discipline, different things going on in their lives, et cetera, et cetera. Some people are just, you know, 10 steps forward, one step back. But in general, I think, or with my clients, I would say in general, it usually looks like probably, you know, 3 steps forward, 1 or 2 steps back, because, you know, life happens. And but as people mm-hmm. grow, that forward momentum grows as well. You know, as mm-hmm. self-discipline is developed, again, strengthens, just like it's a muscle, just like any other muscle. The more you exercise it, it's going to get stronger. Not perfect, but stronger.
Yay.
You know, absolutely. You know, I think it's just the whole process of it all. So, I mean, you know, I know in my personal, if, you know, to get a bit personal, in my personal life, you know, I'd mentioned, you know, obviously, you know, I dealt with weight issues before starting to get into working out and things like that. I mean, shoot. I mean, I have been a bit like a rubber band in different, you know, phases in my own fitness. So, you know, from doing my first show into my first off season and just trying to hash that out, what did that mean, and trying to think through the growth and all the challenges I faced that first season. But for me, it was a lot, honestly, in the beginning, it was a lot of, you know, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Sometimes 3 steps forward, 3 steps back. But
mm-hmm.
progressively, it's continued to be more steps forward and then much smaller back steps, if that makes sense. I think in general with people, if they stick with it and if they stay focused, and again, don't get obsessed about being perfect, but stay focused in the journey, that becomes more and more the pattern. You know, it's because, I mean, I'm human just like everybody else. And again, I think humans, although everybody's an individual, humans have mm-hmm. a lot of real similar behaviors, right? So,
yes.
If people can stick with it, yeah, absolutely. It becomes more consistent steps forward for the most part, I think.
It's such a valid point. I mean, when you think about everything that we have to push through, that's why it's so good to get around people that are of a like mind, not the same mind, but of a like mind.
Yes.
And you can see, you know, this is why I do what I do, and it's just reinforced. It, you know, you don't have to sugarcoat. You don't have to, you know, basically throw in flowery words. You just got to make sure that they're on point, because, I mean, that's what it comes down to, make sure we're actually being successful in what we're doing. And I think that's what you're hitting on, because a lot of times, like you said, that there is negative things said, and it's human nature to try and justify that statement, or why would it be made? And some people are just mean like that, and there's no validation mm-hmm. to what they're saying. They're just saying it just to be bad people. And it's not that they're evil people. They just don't like where you're going, because, like Dev said, they're not going that same way.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, people, yeah, absolutely. I know when I first started getting into lifting and stuff, I've had family members let me know that they didn't wanna, you know, that I might be looking like a man.
Don't go
and,
there.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like, well, that's cool. I'm, you know, and all kinds of stuff. People, yeah, people
you
like
need
to.
You need to eat your starving.
Yeah. Yes. There's one of my first show, honestly, my first show was probably the leanest I'd ever been in my adult life. And this wasn't even stage lean yet, you know, but I was probably,
yeah.
I don't know, 6 weeks out from show. And I saw a family member I hadn't seen for a while. And instead of being happy to see me, she looked up at me and her face just fell. And she like gasped. And then at some point she was like, well, you're not going to lose any more weight, are you? And, you know, I just kind of, thank God, I was with my husband. I kind of just looked at him and it's like, well, you know, I'm not quite ready to compete yet. So, you know, probably. Yeah,
I
absolutely.
You're going to be going to your funeral, not your show. Oh,
okay. Right. Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, I think, you know, the longer, and this is, again, not just for the the athletes I work with, you know, I think the longer they stick with it, the more they pursue their fitness. You know, they really, I think people over time really see the, start to see the value in it and how it can really go so much further beyond the gym. You know, I think that something else just to mention, and this just occurred to me, is one of the other things I really like about fitness, besides, you know, everything about it for the most part, is it keeps you growing, obviously, but you don't turn into a lake. You know how lakes get stagnant, and especially when they aren't growing, there are those lakes that kind of recede and they grow algae and get kind of gross. I feel like fitness, it opens a channel into your life where you have movement, you know? And so for the individual that is not interested in stepping on stage in any way, shape, or form, but just maybe wants to learn how to lift weights three times a week, that is phenomenal, not just for helping them achieve their fitness goals, but just I really think it's actually quite admirable for life goals in general. I mean, because as people, we all tend to lean towards being comfortable. So when someone steps out and they say, I want to do something that's going to make me uncomfortable for the sake of the greater good, I think that's awesome. You know, I just think that's absolutely phenomenal. So for them, if that looks like the gym three times a week for 45 minutes, great. Let's start there and let's watch this, you know, change your life. So,
No, 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 but it brings up a good point because, you know, I think like as a society, America hit rock bottom when obesity was declared a disease. And I said, well, then, you know, just like the bad things, the good things just blow back, the bad things just blow back in the good direction. And I'm liking what you're saying because it seems like we are pushing back to more good health because, you know, like, let's be honest, in the 80s, it was all about excess, you know, do what you like and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. And this is one of the results, basically, of that lifestyle is because we pass it on to others. And people of a mind that don't understand, which would be children, were saying, well, you know, that's how mom and dad did, and look at them.
Yeah.
They're not too bad. But if you figure if you're talking about a generation removed from actually people being, you know, really active and really involved in life outside of a TV and a refrigerator, you're really talking about a different generation. And I think this is one of the fallouts from it where you have a I mean, just think about that, where obesity is classified as a disease. And I was shocked when I heard that. And I was really hurt because I said that when anything is classified, that means it's of epidemic levels. And it's on a large grand scale. So this is kind of the fighting back for the good side, I guess. And I'm glad that you're one of the fighters for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's, yeah, for sure. I do like that. I think more and more people are moving in this direction as well, for sure. I remember, gosh, it was before I got into lifting, but this sounds really silly, but I remember getting kind of a revelation as I was starting to, you know, wanting to learn how to become more active. And I had this, like, moment where I started to realize life is about living. And that sounds so simple, but it really, I used to be a bit of a couch potato and just wanted to watch TV all the time and not really do anything. And I remember thinking life is living. It's moving. It's hanging out with friends. It's going on walks. It's being active. It's, you know, life is, I mean, truly, you know, for the living, if that makes sense, you know, it's to be, life is to be lived, and fitness is basically a way to, you know, keep your wheels oiled so you can live life and experience everything it has to offer to the fullest or as much as you can in this life. So absolutely. It's I think I do like how fitness is becoming more and more, I feel like, accessible. You know, I mean, there's pullback to anything, but, you know, with the blessing of the internet, you know, you're getting a lot more people out there looking into fitness, trying to figure it out, you know, trying to take control of their life and what does that mean, you know, and how do I pursue fitness and all that. So Yes.
Well, like with so much else that you brought up tonight, I mean, very well said, life is to be lived, not just observed, not just to watch it pass by. So with that being said, what's up next for Gretchen? And, you know, are you going to be competing in the future? Anything new and exciting on the Better Life front? What are we going to be seeing from you in the next couple of months?
Absolutely. Well, this is the first year in about 5 years I'm taking off. I think that so 2016 is going to be an off year for me, and off in, you know, obviously competition, not off in my personal life or anything. We'll be taking 2016 off, which I'm really excited about. It's, you know, I've been pursuing competing pretty hardcore for a little while, so I'm excited about this new opportunity to kind of dabble with my workouts a little bit more and have a little bit more fun at the gym and, you know, all, you know, which will be a really cool. And of course, it's a great opportunity to grow, you know, in areas that I want to fill out a little bit, which is, there's a few. So that's on the competition front. So 2016 will be off. So I'm just, 2016, honestly, I just want to have a lot of fun in the gym. I want to just enjoy it. I want to work out with my friends, just have fun, work on some performance goals. In regards to the Better Life, we have a lot coming up, which is really, really exciting. So we just started, I've been working on our Instagram account and, you know, trying to post on that a couple of times a week, anything from, you know, workout tips to photos to, I think I just posted on there recently, a really short shoulder workout I did the other day because I only had 25 minutes to lift that day, so it's just short, sweet. We'll be looking at starting a YouTube channel where I'd like to initially start with posting at least one video a month and then kind of build it from there. We're working at C620 Nutrition on our website. The blog is, we're working on posting a blog, you know, every, you know, week to 2 weeks on there about a variety of topics, you know, obviously centered around health and wellness. And, of course, you know, just growing the Better Life branch as well and continuing to reach more people. We really offer a really, really great personalized service with each one of our clients. So because of that, I personally have a cap on the amount of clients we'll take at a time. But we do have some open spots right now, which is really exciting because people are awesome. And I love talking to people about goals and how we can get there. So I really see 2016, as a year of growth for the Better Life in C620 Nutrition, as well as personally and selfishly in my own personal growth and all of that. So I'm just, you know, I know the year is well underway, but I think there's a lot more coming down the pipe, and I think 2016 is just going to be really, really exciting. I mean, it's been a phenomenal year already for, you know, C620 and for me personally as a competitor. But I know the best is yet to come.
Well, and I believe it, and that's always exciting. And so we would be remiss if we did not give you the opportunity to give shout-outs to anyone and everyone who has been part of your fantastic journey so far.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, well, obviously, you know, Brian from C620 Nutrition, I mean, he's just, you know, you guys had him on before, Brian the Wizard. So he's just awesome. And
the alchemist,
That's right, that's right. You know, couldn't ask for a, you know, better coach and business partner. Aside from that, my incredible, amazing husband who has seen me through every competition season. God bless that man. He's just my rock. And of course, well, you know, any competitor or anyone that's married to a competitor or dates a competitor, you know what that is.
Well, God bless him.
I would like to say I'm much nicer now than I was when I first started competing, but still, I mean, kudos to that man. He's a good man. But aside from that, I, you know, love to acknowledge, you know, just some of the people that really got me into this in the first place. My good friend Janice from back in Alaska owns a really great restaurant called Jackie's Place, who sponsored me. Sean and Cynthia Clapp, who actually were the people that trained me for my first couple of shows, and they just absolutely poured out just a tremendous amount of time into my life, and I'm still very blessed. And of course, my friends, I've got a really great friend named Carrie that's always super supportive of every competition season. She sends me text messages and wants to check in on me and how are you doing and all that. I just, you guys, you know, I'm really blessed. I've got a lot of really good people in my world and people that are really supportive of my goals. I mean, so I'm just super thankful to all my friends and my family. So, and of course my amazing clients, the Better Life, who are awesome. And it's just, no, really, I mean, it's just a blessing to be part of these people's lives, like, and to walk with them on the fitness journey, as I like to say.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you so much for joining us again. And we just want to wish you the best of luck the rest of 2016. I'm sure you are going to just rock.
You are a gem, a true gem.
Oh, thanks, guys. Again, I can't say enough how much I appreciate this opportunity. It's great to talk to like-minded fitness folks out there, and we're bringing the movement. I love it.
I'm bringing it. Thanks so much. Have a great night, Gretchen.
Thanks, you guys. You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, can't beat great energy, passion, knowledge, all of that
wow.
in one package. Gotta love it.
Right. Wow.
Gotta love it. And as far as another topic that you love, I hear that you've got a little something about Snickerdoodle on your mind for tonight.
Yes, the supplement spotlight. Yes, Snickerdoodle. Oh, what can I say about Snickerdoodle? But I just wanted to, because people were asking, you know, okay, did you guys just lose the energy and zest for it? But the reality is, you know, some of these guests that we have on the show, you know, we got great guests, but some of them are just so into what they're saying, we don't want to cut into what they're talking about, you know, for the sake of talking about a supplement. So we can either cover
sure.
it later or talk about it. So this, I mean, that's basically been the thing, but Taylor Ann and DJ, I'm telling you guys, I did not forget about Snickerdoodle. I love it just as much as you guys do. Shout out to both you guys for talking about it. Don't take it all because, hey, I still need to get mine too.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes. I'm very selfish.
You're starting
with
a cult.
So,
this has turned into a cult. This is really turning into a cult. I'm a little bit afraid.
Well, everybody, you figure, all right, Missy Love School has her cake batter, so, you know, she can have that cake batter, but I got to have my Snickerdoodle. We used to fight over the cake batter, but, you know, look at it like that. It worked out well when they came out with Snickerdoodle. And now that they're going to be doing smoothies, I'm getting even more nervous because, then everybody's going to want it because, you know.
What if they run out? Oh, my gosh.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll never talk like that again. Ever. Take it back.
I can't take it back.
Take it back.
You just better stock up.
I guess everybody else better too, but it is a phenomenal tasting supplement. I love it. I mean, I can't even imagine life without it. I don't want to imagine life without it. And thank you for bringing that in my life. And I'm not too happy with it right now. So, Des, I'll let you close out the show since I'm going to sit here and pout.
All right. So everybody, you heard it here first. Let Kaylin order his snickerdoodle. Snickerdoodle. And then all y'all can order yours because I do think that if they were to run out, I would be hosting the show all by myself because Kaylin would be curled up in a little ball somewhere, unable to dial in. So in a corner, we do not want that to happen. So let's just share the love and let's share the snickerdoodle. But with that being said, we're looking forward to talking to you guys again next week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard. As I was saying earlier, competition season is getting into full swing, so we're going to be talking about shows. We're going to be having promoters on as well as a lot of great competitors and other natural athletes. So you're going to want to check us out every week. If you can't listen in, be sure to download, peruse the archives. All of the stuff is there waiting for you guys. So with that being said, we hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. And snickerdoodle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
Snickerdoodle.